it's going to get started. I hope you have brought your Bibles, the Bible that you use every day, in relationship to your book, the 66 books of the Bible, that is the 39 and 27 in the New Testament, as we begin to study today from God's Word. I want to begin by giving you seven reasons why we need to study the Old Testament. If you got your book, a lot of you, Brother William and Sister William, you don't know, since you have started, we began to compile a book. And what this book does, this book takes us all the way from the book of Genesis. We're already to the book of Ruth. And it got all your divisions of the Bible. Maybe before you leave, someone can let you look at that book. But what I want you to do is put out this sheet here. It's called The Bible God Has Spoken. The Bible God Has Spoken, which has the breakdown of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hebrews 1:1-2, in the times past to the fathers by the prophet in these last days unto us by his son. And that's what we're going to be utilizing here as we study this book together. As we begin the book of Genesis. Also, I want you to pull out the one that I gave you that says the book of Genesis. You know, we gave you some all the way up to the book of Ruth. But we want to begin with the book of Genesis. And that's what we're going to be talking about today in relationship to our study today as we study the books of the Bible, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. The worker needed not to be ashamed, but we rightly divide. And we rightly divide God's word. So let's begin our study together. And let's begin. You got your Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14 through 17. I think this is one of the big reason why people don't know what God's will is. Ephesians 5, understand what God's will is, because they just don't know how to write the divine God book. They don't know that there are 60 books in the Bible, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. But number one, to gain wisdom and equipment for not some good works, but every good works. And I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want us to look at verse 14 through 17 today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 through verse 17 as we begin our study today. All right, here we go. Verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue, by the word continue, right? John 8:31, 32. You're in your Bible, amen. But continue, continue in thy word. If thou continue in thy word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I want you to underline, learn, continue in things that you have learned. That's the reason why you're here today. That's the reason why we put this sheet up here. So you can learn, but you can't learn if you don't continue, amen. You got to have a program devised whereby we can all study and learn together. A lot of people don't understand that in relationship to what he's talking about. And has been assured of knowing, 1 John 5:13, of whom thou hast learnt them. See, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. Well, whom did we learn it from? The perfect law of liberty, amen. We prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We test the spirit. And that from a child that have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, we say, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So if this book, based on if we continue on things which we have learned, if it's going to make us wise and holy, see, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Brother, I think that we need to know how to write the divine God word. Amen. It makes sense that you should know that there are 39, 27. Here we go. 5, 12. See, 5, 17. See, you should know that there are 4, 1, 21, and 1. You may say, well, what is he talking about? Well, I'm not trying to tell you what the number that you should know. I'm not trying to tell you what numbers or what numbers are, but those are numbers that give us the division of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. For example, look at here. At this little sheet right here. It kind of gives you the breakdown of what we're talking about. But see, you must be able to continue and you must be able to learn these things if you're going to be able to be wise unto salvation. Here we go again. Law 5, history 12, 5 devotion, 17 prophets. Amen. In relationship to 4 gospels, 1 history, 21 laws, and 1 book of prophecy. Amen. In relationship to the 66 books of the Bible, in relationship to knowing how to write and divide them, because the Bible said it will make us wise unto what? Salvation. But to be wise unto salvation, we got to be able to continue and learn based on us knowing these things that we're talking about, so we have the ability to be able to write and divide God's word. See, and most people do not know that and understand that, and because they don't know that and don't understand that, when things come up in scripture that you never heard before, that go against the norm, then we put the offense up, or we put the rejection up, light up, simply because we literally don't know what the Bible is all about in relationship to proving all things and holding fast to that which is good. So when you look at what Paul is saying here, I think you need to understand, why should you study? That you may continue to learn. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death. I don't care how old you've been, how long you've been in the church, you never quit studying. You never quit growing. You never quit maturing. Amen. Because we are required to be thou faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. And then look at the last part of verse 15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, through the gospel, which is in Christ Jesus. And let me add something to that. Because we are in the church of Christ. Amen. Then it goes on to verse 16. It says all scripture, see, all 66 books of the Bible, see, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Amen. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you want to know what's good. You want to know what is thorough. You want to know what is acceptable. You want to know how to be corrected. You want to know how to be reproved. Brother, you got to go back to doctrine. But in order for doctrine to work, you got to continue and learn in order to be made wise unto salvation. Amen? And most people do not thoroughly have that ability to be able to do that. You know, if I were to ask you, shut your Bible and get a piece of paper out. Examination time, right? 2 Corinthians 13:5, right? You're here to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, right? To make sure you don't become what? Disqualified, am I right? Well, I'm going to take 1 minute. I'm going to stop preaching. I'm going to sit down. You write down. Break down to 39. Break down to 27. Don't look at nobody else's paper. And that's between you and the Lord. So don't look at my shell paper. And I'm not trying to be facetious, I'm trying to make a point. And that point is for us to understand what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, see the need, the urgency of the matter, that we take this thing serious, amen. A lot of people come to church, but that's all they do. See, what we hear, we don't put it to practice in order to apply it to our life, so that we can become wise unto salvation, because we don't continue and we don't learn, amen. You understand what I'm saying? So the point that I'm saying, why get into the book of Genesis to begin to talk about 1,500 years of history in relationship to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and start talking about all the days of creation? Begin to talk about what happened in chapter 2, what happened in chapter 3, what happened with in chapter 4 with Cain and Abel, what happened in chapter 5, what happened in chapter 6 with Noah. Until number 1, we get the basics down, amen, in relationship to the book, the importance of the book. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. I'm not going to ask you what you wrote down. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. But go back to what the scripture says. That's the reason why we need to continue in order to learn. Because see, if we don't continue and learn, we're not going to be wise unto salvation. If you're not wise unto salvation, verse 17, you're not going to be that man of God that may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yeah, I can say it. I can say 5, 12, see, 5, 17, 5 law, see, 5 patriarch, 5 law, 12 history, 5 poetry, 17 books of prophecy. And the reason why I do it, because I do it all the time through continuation, because I know this is important if we're going to be able to understand and really write divine God's word here in relationship to understanding Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi. That is that the first 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. See, the next 12, the next 5, the next 17 books of the prophecy. Because when we begin to get deep into that in relationship to getting to those periods, if you don't know this here, you're going to be lost. You're literally going to be lost. Because you're not going to understand in relationship to what's going on, in relationship to the messianic prophecy, in relationship to that seed promise that you're going to see in chapter 3 when we get there, in relationship to why Jesus came. See, because all this is the reason why he came, that we might believe, to get in his church, to stay in his church, and to be saved, right? See, this will all hinges on, amen? Jesus is coming. He's coming through 5, 12, 5, 17, right? Well, he's coming. He came here, amen. He's gone back. He's going to come back again to get us, amen, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. So let me, again, go over this one more time. See, it's for our learning, but to learn you must continue. Why? That we may be made wise, see, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Go to Acts 3:2. Acts 3:20-24. Not only is the Bible there, the 66 books there to gain wisdom and equipment for every good work, but number 2, the Bible is there to give us a background for the New Testament. To give us a background for the New Testament. A background for the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, and beginning in verse number 20. Let's look at what the Bible says here in relationship to the scripture. Acts chapter 3, and beginning reading in verse number 20. The Bible says here, It says here, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And what he's simply saying here, everything that was said here, look, brother, everything that was said here had to be fulfilled over here in all of God's will to be done. That's the reason why he was sent. See, and you're going to see that. You're going to see that when you get in chapter 3 and when he begins to teach and share with us about words like enmity, seed, bruise, head, heel, all of Genesis 3:15. See, this was a messianic prophecy in relationship of everything that the prophets talked about over here, amen, about Jesus, because he was being sent into the world to correct the problem back here. Amen. It's a warning. But if you don't know how to understand this, right, you're not going to understand this. Am I right? See, Ephesians 3:10 says, it was preordained by the manifold wisdom of God. It just didn't pop up. It just didn't happen. It happened for a reason. Amen. That is that we all might be what? Saved. Look at verse 22. It says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Look what he says. In all things, whatsoever he say unto you. Amen. And it shall come to pass that every soul which would not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among what? The people. But go a little bit further here. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. See, in Acts 4:12, he kind of gave you the reason. Because in Acts 4:12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there are none other name among heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. If you're there, write 1 Corinthians 3:11. But over in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it's right, 1 Corinthians 3:11 right there. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11 says, see, he says, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Moses talked about it. The prophets talked about it in relationship to us having an understanding, as to why we even should have the what, New Testament. See, but it all hinges on 39 over here. If you don't understand the 39 over here, the 5, the 12, the 5, the 17, well, brethren, you're not going to understand the 4, the 1, the 21, and the 1 over here in relationship to understanding what is the will of God, ought to be able to continue and learn in order to be made wise unto salvation. Amen. Because that's what the goal is. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 John 5:13, these things were written that we may what? Know. That we may be wise in order to be able to make proper decisions when that old devil comes. Amen. Amen. Y'all with me? So you should tie in to Acts chapter 3 and 20 to 24. You should tie in Acts 4:12, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Amen. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of Christ. Then point number 3, you know what it do too? It points to Christ. It points to Christ. And when you point to Christ, you point to the church. Amen. Go to the book of Acts. Let's start John 5:39. John 5:39. Let's start there, okay? Start John 5:39. Then if you had John 5:39, what I want you to do, write Acts 8:35. Acts 8:35. John chapter 5 and about verse number 39. And if you're there, I want you to write Acts 8:35. Because see, what this do here, this points to Jesus Christ. See, that is, hear those words again. You're going to see them again, over and over again, in relationship for us understanding what is the will of the Lord. You're going to see those words like enmity, warfare, strife, heal, head, in relationship to understanding. You say, what that is? That's Jesus, that battle that was going to occur between the seed of God and the seed of Satan, amen, that caused those prophets in the Old Testament to foretell, or even Moses to foretell about this Jesus who's going to come. But if you don't hear him, brethren, you're going to be destroyed. Amen? Amen? So when you go to John 5, John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testifies of me. And you would not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, here you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one or another, and see not the honor that cometh from God only? Talking about Jesus. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth even you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? Because he wrote of me. He talked about me back here. Amen? And you tell me the Bible ain't right. And you tell me the church ain't right. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Acts 8:35, very quickly. Let's see what Acts say. Acts 8:35. Let's see here. In relationship that points to Jesus. The book of Acts chapter 8 about verse 35. And we know the story. Beginning in verse number 29. How the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran nigh unto him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what thou art reading? In verse 31 now. And he said, how can I accept some men should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For this life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, look at verse 34, he answered Philip and said, I pray thee of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? But look at verse 35. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, who? Jesus. Now, this is a quote of Isaiah 53. See, in relationship to something that was spoken here during the 17, am I right? In relationship how Jesus, like we said here, and Jesus was going to be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb for his shear, so open not his mouth. So the whole point is we need to see that this book that we're going to be talking about is a book that points to Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus Christ only. Amen. James 5:1. Y'all with me? James 5:1. If you had James 5, I want you to write 1 Corinthians 10. James 5:1, I want to begin reading. Because see, the Bible was written for us to see good as well as bad. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our what? Learning. See that we can learn through other people's mistakes, or we can learn through the goodness of God by grace. Amen. So he says here, James 5:1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold, your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire are the laborers who have reaped down your flock fields, which is of you kept back for fraud. Cried, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived and pledged on earth and been wounded. You have nourished your hearts as in the days of slaughter. You have condemned and you have killed the just, and he does not resist you. And I can go on and on and on to read you. Yes, yes, even in the Bible, we see good times and we see bad times. But regardless of what we see, it's a fulfillment of prophecy, or even in Galatians 6. What you sow is what you reap, amen. In relationship to taking the book and continuing the book and learning from the book so that you can become wise unto salvation, so what happened here in James chapter 5 ain't going to happen to you. Amen? Because see, this happened to them because they were greedy, because they were rich, because they didn't trust in God. And if that attitude or that spirit we possess, the same thing can happen to us. So it's a double-edged sword. The Bible can be a book that can be comforting, can be good, in which it is. Or it can be a book of damnation. That when we sin or when we violate the principles that are set forth in this book of the law of reciprocity of Galatians 6, what you sow is what you reap. And it's just life. Any way you want to look at it. Any way you want to look at it. You can slice it, dice it, any way you want to look at it. It's a principle of life that God will not be mocked. And we can learn in the Old Testament, and we can learn in the New Testament. Amen. Those who disobey God and the penalties that they pay, and the same thing can happen to us if we know how to rightly divide God's word. Then Romans 15:4, we talked about that just now. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. And then finally, over in 2 Peter chapter 1:19, the book is a light for a dark day. 2 Peter 1:19. Okay? Second Peter 1:19-21. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. I want to read that one more time. See, the Bible ain't no good. I mean, we can quote 5:12, 5:17. And we can know all the numbers. We can say the right thing. But see, the Bible's not going to do you no good if that light don't come in your mindset to transform us. See, you can come to church all day and not be transformed. You can leave just the way you came. If you don't take what you hear and apply it to your life. I tell us all the time, when we come to worship, whenever we come, this is a work in progress. No fun and games. I mean, I'm not going to let you out no earlier than you're supposed to be let out. Amen. Because this is a work in progress. Because twofold, this is going to determine while we here whether you're going to have abundant life, and then when we leave, whether you're going to have eternal life. So, I know if you continue, I know if you learn, you will be able to wise unto salvation. But in doing so, what you got to do is take this light of the word, and what you got to do is get rid of the darkness in your life through spiritual application. You could have came with problems today. But through the power of the word of God, they can be transformed. Through the power of God's word. If you take the light of the word, if you take the understanding of the word, or you take it because you have learned them, and then make the corrections that you need to make in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, brother. It's no way for you to accurately study God's word and not know the principles of how God's word works. You can't do it because you're not going to understand it. You're just not going to understand it. See, that's the reason why we have a problem in the church with worship. We have a problem with organization. We have a problem with structure. Because, see, people, self-will, in the end, when self-will went in, it brings about vain worship, ignorant worship, unknown worship, will worship. See, and see, true worship can't come into effect because, see, there's no light to make it true. You know what I mean? And that's the reason why you see so much confusion in the church. Because you can't understand what you don't know. See, so what he's saying here, very quickly, he's saying, let me read again, we have also a more sure word, a prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as the light that shines in a dark place. And guess what? We all got dark places, amen. Because we all have sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Until the day the dawn and the day star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophet of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, that when I stand up in front of you, it's not my opinion. If I can't give you book, chapter, and verse for everything that I'm saying, it's useless. Amen? Because it's not by any private interpretation. It's by God's inspiration. It's thoroughly so that the man of God may be furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's the reason why you should know this. You should know this here in relationship to understanding the will of God. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. See, all this just didn't happen based on man's interpretation. Amen. So all that garbage we've been seeing on TV about the Pope, that's garbage. Because none of it can be proven by the Word of God. Amen? How are you going to have two heads? But one is an emeritus. I mean, what difference whether your shoes are red, white, or blue? What good if they crush your ring and you don't have one, but still don't know Jesus? Amen. But so many people are caught up in it because they do not know how to gain wisdom and equip for every good work that this Bible gives us if we know how to rightly divide God's word. For the prophecy came down the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you all this in writing, okay? Don't fret. I'm going to give it all back to you. Because I want you to have it. See, y'all might not remember all that. See, I'm going to give it back to you. Everything I get, I'm going to give you in writing. Amen? So you're going to get it. So you might say, well, I can't remember all that. Don't worry about it. You're going to get it again. Because, see, if we're going to be a congregation of unity, if we're going to be a congregation about God's business, brother, we got to speak the same thing, build the same mind, amen, and we got to be like-minded and understand the word of God that we may all be guided the right way. And guess what, brother? It's not but one way in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So with that being said, I got a few minutes. Let me give you a little bit, okay? Genesis. You got your sheet. All right, the author is Moses. Matter of fact, Moses wrote the first five books called the Pentateuch, called the Law. Right? He wrote the first five. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the Pentateuch. Some people call it the Law. It's a law which is not a written law, but it's a law by the heads of the household was the ones who delegated, the law went through them. All right? Moses wrote this book around 1450. Well, we do know that when we look at our chart here, we're going to see a little bit more. From this point at 4000, that's when the world began, Genesis 1:1, somewhere around there, right? Well, from this point all the way until Exodus 1:1, amen, it took about 4000 years. Now, you know in the Old Testament, the numbers count backwards. Went from 4000 all the way to zero. And then when Jesus came, Matthew 1:1, it began with 1, right? Jesus died around 33. That's when the church began, Acts 2. Am I right? Up to where we are now, right? 2013. So when you look at this here, from this point to this point, Exodus 1, elapsed about 2513. That is, from Adam to Noah was 1600 years approximately. And from Abraham to Moses, 857, which was probably about 2432, somewhere around in there. And we don't know the exact numbers, but somewhere around in there. Okay? What it is written to the people of Israel, and denote that too, that I do say that, but Genesis 12:1 through Abraham, in that seed, all nations shall be blessed, in relation to the patriarchic fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, amen, even though Adam and Noah and the rest of them were patriarchs too, but the first messianic prophecy of blessing came through Abraham of Genesis 12:1, and we'll see that somewhere around the road. But it was the Israelite people, even through Jacob, when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and we're going to see that too, in relationship to how all that is tied up until the chosen people, in relationship to that promise of Genesis 3:15, I talk about the word enmity, warfare, strife, heel, head of Genesis 3:15. And you're going to see all that, amen. That's the whole purpose. You're seeing all this here, amen. For you to see that this Jesus, who is our head, amen, it just didn't happen overnight, amen. Amen. And you got to see it, amen, to be able to appreciate it. And the reason why I say that is because if people knew what went on from the 4,000th year all the way up to now, man, we'll love God the Father, amen, for what he did in order that we might be what? Saved. Okay? Does that make sense? Yes, sir. That makes sense. In relationship to understanding, the key word that I want you to see is Genesis means beginning. All right? That's what the book meant, beginning. All that's on your sheet there. And I want you to see that Genesis means beginning. Genesis 3:15, the first messianic prophecy in relationship to us, the unfold manifold wisdom of God in relationship. Now, 3 points I'm going to hush that I want you to see, and this is what we're going to be concentrating on. Now, guess what? We're going to have to move fast. Won't we? How many of y'all believe we can move fast? Marquez, you don't think I can? Oh, Jesus, he ain't forgot. You do not to Trey. Trey don't say much, but the way he looked at it, 3 points I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see. Chapter 1 through 3, you're going to see from creation to the flood. Chapter 4 through chapter 8, you're going to see from the fall to the flood. The third thing I want you to see is from chapter 8 to chapter 11, from the flood to the Tower of Babel. And we're going to call that period the revelation of the redeeming purpose. The revelation of the redeeming purpose in relationship to why Jesus came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. Okay, now I want to give you one more thing. I know I said that earlier, but I do want to give it to you. And then the lesson is going to be ours there. In relationship to understanding, well, I might need to wait on that. Well, next week, or I won't be here next week, will I? Because we're having fifth Sunday, right? I may do it, well, They do. I don't know. Can't do it. Well, okay. Next time we meet, I'm going to have all this given to you. All right? Y'all got any questions? All right. All right. A lot of stuff, ain't it? Huh? All right. Hold on a minute. I want to give you one more thing here. And I saw it this evening when I was looking at this here. And hold on, y'all. Hold on one second here. Y'all saw how old this book is, brown. So I had it 30 years. That's an old book, ain't it? Hold on. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you five words. I want you to write them down. Just write them down, okay? And this dealing with chapter one. First thing I want you to write down is the atheism. Let me spell it to you. A-T-H-E-I-S-M. Atheist, one who denies that there is a God. But we're going to show you that God was there in the beginning. Okay? Next word I want you to write down is P-O-L-Y-T-H-E-I-S-M. Polytheism would simply mean that people say that there are many gods. But I'm going to show you in Genesis 1, it's not gods, but it's God that created. Amen. The next word I want you to see is A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M, which means that there is an unknown God. Not only there are many gods, I warn you not that there is a God, but there's an unknown God. See, but we're going to show you in chapter 1 that it was God that did the creation. Amen. In relationship to understanding God's will. Yes, sir. That's A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Okay? Now, what I want you to do, see, I want you to go home, and I want you to Google these words. And I want you to read them in depth. So I'm just giving you a brief. Then I want you to do is go to chapter 1, okay, and look at all 7 days of creation and divide it and read the whole chapter. And what we're going to do is apply man-made lie to God's truth. Does that make sense? See, so you want to repeat it again? Two. All right, let me go. First word again. Let's start over. Atheism, A-T-H-E-I-S-M. Got that? Polytheism, P-O-L-Y-T-H-E-I-S-M. You got that? Let's say it again. P-O-L-Y-T-H-E-I-S-M. You got that? Next word is agnosticism, A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Right? Next word I'm going to give you is fatalism. That's F-A-T-A-L-I-S-M. See? And what that simply means that the events were fixed. Okay? That's F-A-T-A-L-I-S-M versus being expressed in creation. See, in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. See, let there be. God move. Let that be. God move. See, God was in action in creating the world. Amen. It wasn't something that was already here. It's like you hear people say, well, 500,000 years ago when the Flintstones were here. See, or when dinosaurs were here. Well, it could not have been here because the world ain't that old. Amen. See, these geologists, you know, they do work, and they'll tell you, we found these bones. These bones are a million years old. I don't know who bones them is. So it wasn't nothing here. You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible don't lie. Amen. See, in relationship to understanding God's will. All right, and the last one I want to give you is that P-A-N-T-H Pantheism. Pantheism. All right? Y'all got them all? Now, what I want you to do, go home and Google it. And we live in a world today with your iPhones, with your Android phones, with your iPads, where it may be. I find myself a lot of time in study with an iPad or Android phone. You can go to Acts.com or you can go to and just type these words in. And they're so sophisticated, within 30 seconds, you got a whole book to read. Okay? And read for each one, but not only read, but we're going to go back and look at Genesis 1:1, and we're going to see what God's word is right. Because see, if God's word ain't right, if all this is a big fairy tale, but brother, we just can go home. Because see, we all lost. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. All right? And that's about it. So next time we come, I'll have some more handouts for you. And then in that handout, I'm going to have all 50 chapters of everything that we're going to cover. And some of them we're going to have to just go through them. Okay? But the main thing, like the beginning, I want to hit that real hard. At some point, I'm going to hit real hard, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Some things I'm not going to cover that much. So some of those periods there, get your sheet out here. Get your sheet out here in your book. Y'all like y'all book? And that sheet that I gave you, now this one was real good too. If I was you, I'd take this sheet, I'd take this sheet, then I'd take the other sheet and tie them all together. All right, just tie them all together. Okay, and then, and the one that I really want you to look at is, this one right here. It talks about Old Testament facts and figures. And it starts with Adam, the Enoch, the Seth, the Enoch, and go all the way down here. Alright? Alright? And we're going to tie all this hymn to Adam, to Noah, to Shem. See, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and tie all that in. Now, this is just one of them. Now, it's about three or four, but I just only gave you one. Okay? This one right here. Frazier said, mine's in black and white. I give Frazier a color one. He feel like he been left out because he got a 1950 copy. All right? Y'all see where I'm at? This book here? Oh, I'm sorry. This one right here. That breaks down Old Testament facts and figures. It breaks all this down. Time and everything. We're not going to get so hooked up on time. You know, because it's not precise as we want it to be. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think we're going to get precise on what's in the book. Okay? And that's the point. Y'all with me? Okay. All right. Very good. If there be one here that needs to respond to an invitation, come right now as we stand there. We're sitting.